2-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeout for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here once again. Well, it was an off day yesterday for the M's, so we have no game to talk about. Boy, off days can be long days sometimes. But fortunately, baseball is back today on the East Coast, so an early ball game. We'll preview the series in Baltimore coming up. We'll start with that, and then some really big podcast. It's a big podcast, as always. Josh Kearns is going to be back with his series as kind of outside the lines of Mariners baseball. This is a good one about the police officers that you see in the dugout that kind of are there in the dugout with the players, that sort of thing. So that comes up. It's excellent, as always. Josh Kearns has done a fabulous job all season with those. Aaron Goldsmith had a really interesting conversation with David Ortiz, and in it, he says a lot, but he talks about Edgar Martinez in particular and talks about Edgar Martinez and the Hall of Fame, and that also touched off a larger discussion we had about Edgar and the Hall of Fame, and that comes up as well, which I think is pretty interesting as we bat around the idea of not only Edgar and the Hall of Fame, but what changes should be made in terms of voting to the Hall of Fame. Should there be any changes made? Is there too much of a focus on one area as opposed to another? It seemed like a couple of different times over the weekend we got into Hall of Fame conversations. Buck O'Neill was one subject and Edgar Martinez another. So that conversation comes up. I think it's pretty interesting, especially when you put it in context of what David Ortiz said about Edgar Martinez going into the Hall of Fame. So that comes up as well. One thing I keep forgetting to mention, I think I've tried to remember every day for a month and haven't brought it up on the podcast, but if you're an Instagram type person, I've started to mess around on Instagram a little bit. Gary Hill Jr., you can find me. If you're into Mariners photos, that's basically what I've posted so far. Actually, it's all of what I've posted so far. One thing I will never take for granted, the access that I get and some of the cool situations I find myself in. So I've started to carry a camera around with me from time to time when I'm on the field or doing whatever. So I've started to post those pictures a little bit at Gary Hill Jr. on Instagram. And I think a couple of them are pretty cool. Like on Saturday, when downtown Freddie Brown was on the field, which was awesome.
Pastor Brown had to lean out of bounds to grab it back, shoots right corner, swish, and Freddie Brown may be hot tonight.
And there he is on the field shaking hands with Bill Withers. I mean, seriously, how cool is that? Downtown Freddie Brown and Bill Withers. And I have a pretty good shot of them after Bill Withers threw out the first pitch on Saturday, which was pretty cool. Bill Withers and downtown Freddie Brown, pretty good. I think I got a pretty good shot of them after he threw out the first pitch. So there you go. You can always follow me on Twitter as well, at Gary Hill Jr. And you can email me at any point to GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. I'm about to unveil about three different things at one time. I'm working on a few different things for people. I've gotten some fantastic requests recently, including putting something together regarding Alvin Davis, which I think is a fantastic idea. Really kind of the first Mariners star, at least that's how I look at it. I mean, before there was Felix Hernandez, before there was Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., I mean, go down the list, Alvin Davis was kind of the first one to pop for the Seattle Mariners. That was a great suggestion. That's coming up. A good one about home runs at Safeco Field. That's on its way as well. So I'm still working on stuff. It's been crazy. So it's taken some time, more time than I had hoped to get a few of these out, but it's happening. So you can always send your requests along, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com, and I'll get to those as well. So let's take a look at what's happening with the M's here the next 3 days. They're going to be in Baltimore after the off day yesterday. 4:05 first pitch from Baltimore. Taijuan Walker will go against Miguel Gonzalez as Baltimore had to change up the rotation a little bit. Norris, bronchitis. So he's been sick. He's lost some strength the past week. He's also struggled, so he's not going to. Looks like he's not going to make his start. And then Wednesday, 4:05, first pitch. Rennis Elias, who's been outstanding, he'll go against fellow lefty Wei-In Chen, who gets pushed up a little bit. And then Thursday, a 9:35 a.m. first pitch. Jay Happ will go against TBA. Baltimore shuffling things around a little bit, so they're trying to figure it out. By the way, no podcast Thursday morning. I do that sometimes with weekday morning games because by the time they get started, you haven't even had a chance to listen. So I'll just make Friday that much better. So no podcast on Thursday. So keep that in mind later in the week. And then Friday, it's going to be a great day. They go to Toronto, and Felix Hernandez will take the mound again. He'll go against Marco Estrada, who just moved back into the bullpen. And then a battle of contrasts on Saturday. Early morning, breakfast with the Mariners, 10:07, first pitch from Toronto. James Paxton will take his 20 scoreless innings on the road, and he'll put it up against Mark Burley. So a hard-throwing lefty against a soft-tossing lefty, and a veteran, young against old, in Paxton against Burley. That should be a very entertaining matchup. And then Sunday, 10:07, first pitch again from Toronto, Taiwan Walker. He'll go against Aaron Sanchez, who has a good live arm as well. So a couple youngsters that can really bring the gas, which will be fun. I'm anxious to see Walker and Paxton, both the way they've been pitching and with how they've gone to the fastball, so heavy with the fastball, and it's been tremendously effective. Also, while we have a second, we should congratulate Brad Miller, American League Player of the Week.
Swing and a high fly ball deep to right field. Holt going back to the track to the wall. Goodbye, baseball. Miller does it again. His second home run of the ball game. And it ties the game at 2-2. Home runs 3 and 4 on the season tonight for Brad Miller. This time he jumps on Porcello's first pitch to him in the bottom of the fifth inning, and that ties the game at 2-2. What a night for Brad Miller, and it's only the bottom of the fifth.
Yeah, May 11th through the 17th, 4 homers, 5 ribbies, 3 doubles, 6 runs scored. He slashed .429, .500, and .1143. Nice. Brad Miller sizzling and playing all over the place as well. Colin O'Keefe had some really good stuff. He tweeted out some very interesting tidbits yesterday on Brad Miller, so go to his timeline for that, and we'll have him on here in the next couple of days because I think it's definitely worthy conversation to have about Brad Miller, and it may surprise you what he's done in the past year. So that will come up here in the near future as well. But congratulations, Brad Miller, American League Player of the Week. So you're ready for today. Mariners taking on Baltimore. Baltimore, by the way, right now sitting in fourth place in the American League East, 16-19 so far this season. They have not been as strong offensively as they were last year. Of course, Nelson Cruz, that's a big loss in the middle of their lineup, 17th in the majors in runs scored. And their pitching has struggled at times as well. Right now, 16th in ERA in Major League Baseball. They've had some big surprises. Jimenez, a 2.43 ERA so far this season in 7 starts, 40 2/3 innings. Opponents just batting .200 against him. He's fanned 38, and he's only walked 12. Pretty impressive. Mariners will miss him, though, in the series. But on the other side of things, Chris Tillman with a 6.34 ERA has really struggled at times. Bud Norris, a 9.88 ERA so far this season. So they've had some surprises and some struggles along the way in the rotation. And you want to stay ahead of them because the key guys in the back end of the bullpen are still pretty good. O'Day has been his usual solid self. Britton has been pretty good as well. So you want to stay away from those guys. Play from ahead if you can against Baltimore, although you can probably say that against most teams in the American League. So you're ready for the series after the Mariners go 6-3 on their homestand. Look to take that momentum out on the road, taking on Baltimore for 3. Now we're going to hand things over to Josh Kearns. Here he is a little outside the lines again with Mariners baseball.
I'm going to tell a story on you, Bob.
That's not hard to do for Seattle police officer Mike Hargraves and his buddy King County Sheriff's Deputy Bob Connor. After all, the pair have guarded the dugouts around here during Mariners games for over 30 years.
I worked the opening in the Kingdom, then I worked the first Mariner game, and I've worked almost all of them since.
Bad boys, what you gonna do?
Mike's the one you see standing along the first baseline between innings and in the Mariners dugout. Bob works the visitor's side. He's had the gig since the early 80s. Both started at the top. Literally.
Third level of the Kingdom, just worked my way. His vacancies came up. Guys retired or got promoted and left. They didn't seem to mind having me work in close proximity to the dugout and the players and stuff.
And you can imagine they've seen and heard it all on the field and off.
I have the best seat in the house. I get to rub elbows with them and they talk to me. They don't talk to me about their job. They talk to me about my job. They want to know what I do, and I want to talk about their job.
But it's not all fun and games. Bob says they're there for one main reason, to protect the players.
Well, unfortunately, you have some people who carry the heckling to the extreme, where it becomes degrading, vulgar. I've had players have their families talked about, their wives talked about. Guys want to challenge him to a fight, and had a couple of them jump on the dugout.
Being down there all these years has made Bob and Mike celebrities of sorts, or at least somewhat recognizable, since you see them at virtually every game.
Frequently, I can be in a pizza parlor and somebody will come up to me and say, "Hey, you're the Mariner cop," or other things. They'll say, "I know you. Where do I know?" And I say, "No, but I feel like I know you." I don't help them out much. I just let it. If they figure it out, fine.
One thing they figured out, after all these years, they've gotten a bit too, shall we say, experienced to chase the occasional drunk who runs out on the field, especially the ones without any clothes.
I'm not tackling a streaker. Not even a woman streaker.
Well, yes, they call him the streaker.
That's left to those big, much younger security guards, or shall we say, less seasoned. But Mike and Bob swoop in immediately after to slap on the cuffs, and not much more.
They want to run out there naked? You're walking. I'm not going to cover you up. I'm not taking my coat off. And this guy was totally without clothes. And we got him in handcuffs, and we take him out through center field. And Bobby, the crowd's laughing. You took your hat off and put it over his crotch.
I think I hung from it, I don't know.
And then we go off, then we get him in there, and we do our thing. He gets processed and goes to jail. I said, "Bob, you're going to put that hat back on now?"
That was given away to a professional player who, to this day, doesn't know where that hat's been.
Kind of gives new meaning to the old Mariners hat trick, doesn't it? Anyway, Bob wouldn't reveal who that player is, but it's just one of the many funny moments he's been a part of. Like the time a player on the A's tied his shoelaces together.
I didn't realize he did it. So I go to step out after innings, and he had, I almost tripped, and it was quite the affair with the players. Of course, I've had the bubble gum put on my head and the cups put on my head.
Mike has his share as well, like all the times Ken Griffey Jr. would pinch his butt running by onto the field.
I learned to look over my shoulder a little bit after that when he'd come up, and he'd just smile at me, you know.
But like Jr., both Mike and Bob realize their time will eventually come to an end. When that time comes, they'll leave with a lifetime of friendships and memories. You can imagine there are plenty of cops chomping at the bit to get those gigs, but Bob isn't quite ready to give it up just yet.
Oh, they can wait a long time. Yes.
Bad boys, what you gonna do?
I'm Josh Kearns.
Another good one from Josh Kearns. I'm really enjoying that series that he's bringing to us, kind of outside the lines of Mariners baseball, week in and week out here on the podcast. Good stuff. Really good stuff. So now we're going to hand things over to Aaron Goldsmith, who had a pretty interesting conversation with David Ortiz. And they get into a little bit about Edgar Martinez. And at the tail end of it, we'll talk about that a little bit more. So here it is, Aaron Goldsmith with David Ortiz.
David, it was right here at Safeco Field back in July of 2013. You doubled to the gap in left center field. It was the record-breaking hit, the most hits by any designated hitter in the history of the game. You received a standing ovation from the crowd here at Safeco. What do you remember most about that day?
It was great. I mean, I remember I was talking to my wife about it because life is something that it's hard to describe, you know what I'm saying? I remember coming up with the Mariners in the minor league system for a couple of years. It was the first thing that signed me as a free agent out of the Dominican. And here I am, who knows how many years later, you know, going through an accomplishment, and all of a sudden I have the Mariners fans and also the Red Sox fans at the same time on the Mariners baseball field, you know, giving me a standing ovation for something that I accomplished. So it's something that even if somebody ever tells you that it's gonna be like that, this is hard to believe, you know what I'm saying? So it was great. I remember I don't remember exactly when it happened, but I remember getting a standing ovation here at Seattle, and it was pretty cool.
You bring up your time in the Mariners system. You were signed back in 1992 by Seattle. David, you were a Wisconsin Timber Rattler in Appleton, Wisconsin in the minor leagues before being traded to the Twins. What are your memories of your early days in the Mariners farm system?
Well, I remember there's some name and a specific that I remember from the Seattle organization, which today still we when we get to see each other, we pretty much chat about it and stuff like that. I remember a couple of weeks ago I saw Jim Beattie, who was the GM, I think it was the GM at the time, right? Back then for the Mariners, very nice person. He I got to meet him when I was coming up in the minor league, and we always talk about it. Mike Goff, who was my manager in Appleton, Wisconsin, I saw him the other day. I think he's coaching for the Marlins. I saw him in the spring training, and it's a lot of people, you know. Every time I see the training staff that work for the Mariners here, those guys used to be with me in the minor league. And, we always go back through memories and stuff. And like I say, man, you know, it's been an unbelievable ride. And it's something that there's a lot of good things to talk about.
Well, back in 1973, Major League Baseball gave out their first ever Outstanding Designated Hitter Award. And they gave it out to, at the time, a Boston Red Sox. Orlando Cepeda received the first one back in 73. Then in 2004, it was renamed to the Edgar Martinez Award for Most Outstanding Designated Hitter. You have won it, David, more than anyone else. You've won it 7 times. When you hear the name Edgar Martinez, what do you think of?
When I hear Edgar, it make you, you know, believe about one of the best players that ever played the game, you know what I'm saying? And I remember when I first came up to the big league, at the first baseman, never thought I was gonna be DHing. And then, boom, you're watching Edgar playing at the Kingdom, and you're watching one of the best right-handed hitters that ever played the game back then, and all of a sudden, you know, people start mentioning your name right next to a player that, to me, he should be Hall of Famer. He should be inducted in the Hall of Fame a while ago because the thing that he did in the game. I mean, people sometimes think that just because we are one dimension kind of type of player, that is not part of the game or that doesn't get it done. And I remember watching Edgar Martinez hit. You play against the Mariners, and if he wasn't in the lineup, it was like a big old hole in the lineup because you're not seeing one of the best right-handed hitters in the game. But, you know, I mean, it will happen regardless. I hope so. And it made me proud, you know, just the fact that they kind of compare my name to an amazing player like Edgar used to be.
Have you ever had a chance to meet Edgar?
Of course. Edgar, I talked to Edgar a whole bunch of time, and like I say, it's unbelievable.
And finally, David, when did Big Poppy, when was that born? When was the first time you were called Big Poppy?
It was like, I would say, when I first got here, I pretty much, I'm terrible remembering people's name, and I used to call everybody Poppy, so they Poppy me back.
Really interesting stuff, I think, about Edgar Martinez in particular. Of course, you know, David Ortiz, Edgar Martinez, two of the greatest DHs there have been to play this game, and he's confident that Edgar will get into the Hall of Fame. At least he sounds confident that Edgar will get into the Hall of Fame. Now, I've been thinking about the Hall of Fame after this weekend, because we talked about on Saturday with Buck O'Neill, and I just think with all of his contributions to the game, there's got to be a place for someone like Buck O'Neill in the Hall. Then I think about Edgar Martinez and the way he hit for a decade, really dominated for a decade. I just wonder, and I wondered this out loud, and you'll hear the conversation coming up in just a minute with myself and Aaron Goldsmith and Rick Riz, Mike Blauer, Shannon Dreher, all in on the conversation. But I started to wonder if we've gone too far with just the raw numbers, the accumulation of just focusing on the 3,000 hits or 2,700 hits or whatever it is, instead of like the contributions of a Buck O'Neill or Edgar Martinez, the way he hit for a decade, even though maybe some of his raw numbers don't equal some of the others in the Hall of Fame. I just wonder if we're out of balance with the way we look at things, and maybe with the way the votes are coming down at this point. And maybe we're not. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'd like to get your opinion on that, too. You can tweet me at Gary Hill Jr. Email again, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. But I started to look at it and take some guys that are in the Hall right now. And I didn't want to go way back, because I know there's some guys, when you stack up the numbers, that don't stack up as favorably to recent inductees. But I wanted to look at some guys that are in the Hall right now. And I don't want to go too in-depth on this, but just kind of stay on the surface a little bit and just look at a couple of the numbers, which I think are pretty interesting, because Edgar really did some impressive things. And you've heard it before: his batting average above 300, on-base percentage above 400, slugging above 500. I mean, it's a pretty rare combo. Played 18 years in the big leagues, but you know, he really didn't start playing every day till he was 27. And when it's all said and done, that's what hurts his candidacy, because he wasn't able to rack up the raw numbers as much. I look at him in comparison to, take Andre Dawson for a second, and I'll allude to him in a moment. But you know, Dawson was a 279 hitter in his career, and I'm not trying to take shots at guys or say that guys don't belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm trying to do a one-on-one comparison. Dawson, a 279 hitter. Edgar, a 312 hitter. Dawson's on-base percentage, 323. Edgar's 418, nearly 100 points above. Dawson slugged 482. Edgar slugged 515 in his career. It's amazing, because you know, Dawson fanned over 1,500 times in his career, compared to just 1,200 for Edgar Martinez, 300 times less. And you look at walks, 589 walks for Dawson in his career, 1,283 for Edgar Martinez, which is part of the reason he didn't rack up as many hits, because he was just a pure patient hitter. Yeah, if he swung more, he probably would have gotten a few more hits along the way. But he got on base, and he got on base a lot. But the difference, you know, plate appearances, and that's where he gets the raw numbers. Dawson, 10,769 plate appearances. Edgar's plate appearances, 8,674. That's a lot. That's a big difference. And at the same time, Dawson, 2,774 hits. Edgar, 2,247, despite the massive difference in plate appearances, the massive difference in base on balls. Edgar wasn't, you know, that far away from Dawson in terms of hits. Home runs, 438 for Dawson. Edgar ends up with 309, so that's a wide gulf there. But look at doubles. Dawson with 503. Edgar had more doubles, 514, than Andre Dawson had, despite that huge difference in plate appearances. And of course, you get to the argument with Dawson, who was a great defensive player as well, and Edgar a DH for most of the time. But let's be honest, I don't think you know, just few exceptions where defense has really gotten a guy into the Hall of Fame, Ozzie Smith, guys like that. But, I mean, most of the time Hall of Fame voters are looking at the offensive numbers. Tony Perez is another guy I think you can look at. He had even more plate appearances than Andre Dawson. Perez, you know, he played 22 years in the big league, 64 to 86. Plate appearances, 10,861. Again, compare that to Edgar, 8,674. But Perez, a .279 lifetime hitter. On base percentage of .341, he slugged .463 for his career. 379 homers, Edgar with .309. Base on balls, Perez with .925. Edgar, again, with .1283. I mean, that's a big gulf. And then doubles. You get back to doubles again. Perez, .505. Edgar, more. .514. And you can play this game, you know, Jim Rice, Willie McCovey. There's a lot of different guys that are in the Hall of Fame right now that you can compare Edgar Martinez to. And they're really the only thing. Edgar Martinez, you would say, is a better hitter. I mean, the percentages don't lie. And, you know, he did spend 18 years in the big leagues. It's not like we're talking about a guy that only dominated for 4 or 5. Again, didn't get full-time duties till he was 27, but played till he was 41. He just didn't accumulate the same raw numbers. And it's these kind of examples that led to my question in the conversation.
This gets the Mariners even here in the ninth. Here comes the stretch by Gibson. The pitch on the way to Martinez. Swung on and belted. Deep to left field. It will fly away. And the Mariners win a 3-2. My, oh, my. Edgar Martinez with his 11th home run of the year. The M's were sitting and waiting and hoping.
To me, he should be Hall of Famer. He should be inducted in the Hall of Fame a while ago. It will happen regardless. I hope so. And it made me proud, you know, just the fact that they kind of compare my name to an amazing player like Edgar used to be.
Well, welcome back to Safeco Field, Mariners and Red Sox, game 4 of this series. Time for the Emerald Queen Casino Roundtable. Gary Hill back with you, joined by Mike Blauer, Shen Andrea, Rick Riz, Aaron Goldsmith. And that was David Ortiz, Big Papi, yesterday talking about Edgar Martinez and the fact that, why isn't Edgar Martinez in the Hall of Fame? And I think it's an interesting discussion to have. We talked about it yesterday, also with Buck O'Neill. And, you know, I was thinking about this because I compare Edgar to some of the other hitters in the Hall of Fame, like Andre Dawson. Nothing to take anything away from Andre Dawson, but to me, Edgar Martinez, a better hitter than Andre Dawson when you compare the numbers. I mean, plus 100 points on base percentage, that sort of thing. Has the Hall of Fame become too much about the accumulated raw numbers as opposed to like a decade of greatness or contributions to baseball like Buck O'Neill?
I think when people think about the Hall of Fame, they think about, let's look at the numbers. I think there's no doubt. And you wonder, kind of going back to, on a smaller scale, if you look at people who vote for the Cy Young, for example.
I don't know where you're going, Aaron.
It's the art of balancing the numbers and then what you actually see in front of you. And, hey, it's easier said than done, but there's an art to that. And that's where the real balance comes in, I think.
And I think, you know, when you take a look at Edgar's numbers, he got a late start because he was down in AAA much longer than most guys with his ability would have been. He would have been in the big leagues earlier, but Jimmy Presley was here, a very good talent player. Darnell Coles was here, very talented player. So when you take a look at his overall numbers, maybe they don't compare with others. But you take that 10-year period and the decade in which he played, I mean, no one was better than Edgar Martinez. And what I'm hoping for now is that the voters, being that we're, you know, sabermetrically inclined, really take a look at those numbers, and this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Career average over 300, on-base percentage for his career over 400, slugging percentage for his career over 500. Not many guys have done that. The guys that have done that, they're all in the Hall of Fame. And as far as the DH thing, put on a uniform every day and he played. Now the door is open, I believe. Frank Thomas, you know, got in. Yeah. Paul Molitor got in. Edgar's going to get in. David Ortiz is going to make it. So the DH started in 1973. Edgar Martinez Blow deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
The greatest player that I have ever seen is Ken Griffey Jr. Period, bar none. I saw instances over the course of about, and this is when I was here, over the course of a three-year stretch, when the opposing manager had to decide what he wanted to do. Because Edgar Martinez was standing on deck. It wasn't as easy as, well, let's just put Junior on because that's what we're supposed to do, because that's how dangerous Edgar was, especially late in games, especially in the clutch, especially against the best relievers on the planet. I just, you know, to me, when you're gaining that kind of respect, and as Rick had mentioned, over a 10-year stretch, mm-hmm. and I think it's actually longer than that for Edgar, you better rethink it and really look hard at it, because that is not an easy thing to do.
I think 10 years is different now than what it has been for the length of the Hall of Fame, and I think that that's something that needs to be looked at a little bit closer. But I think maybe you look more, and Rick, you were talking about the numbers that you were talking about, a lot of them are the averages. It's one thing to put up the numbers over 20 years. It's another thing to put it up over 10 or 12. The biggest thing for me, and Gary, you know, you were talking about at the beginning, you know, should it be the numbers? Should it be what you did for the game? This, that, and the other. For me, I just feel that baseball belongs, and the Hall of Fame should belong to the players that played the game. And I know that there is some involvement, but I would like to see more involvement in that selection by the players. And not just the top of the top, but a good representation of players from different eras, from different different decades, some Hall of Famers, some not. But those who were the good representatives. I would hope that there would be a group out there that could take it seriously enough, that have that passion, and could see some of the things that you were talking about, that Aaron and that Rick were talking about as well.
Because that really brings me to a point that I think is so critical, and we see it today with Felix. We are seeing the effects of it, the ramifications of it with Edgar. And it's very simple. We are the outpost of Major League Baseball. When Edgar was playing, not every one of Edgar's games was televised, right? I mean, every game for Felix is televised, and he's on a path right now to be the most dominant right-handed pitcher of his generation and the most undervalued right-handed pitcher of his generation.
For Edgar, there was an entire league of voters that didn't see him.
Exactly. So to your point, Shannon, about having players' involvement, well, we know of three players who would vote for Edgar, and they're all really high, notable players.
In the past week?
In the past week.
All come
exactly.
Out. Yeah.
I mean, if the people who saw him on a daily basis, they know how great he was. But for voters in the National League and some voters even in the American League, that's a really big hurdle to have to jump.
And it's one of the things when you go to interleague play, and I've been beating this drum forever about it. Change the rules. When the National League club comes to Seattle, play the National League rules. And if they had done that when Edgar went to Philadelphia, when Edgar went to play the Mets, he would have been in the ballgame. But he goes back there, and they see him pinch hit.
Yeah, that's a great point.
What a shame. And you don't think those fans wanted to see him?
Yeah.
He was one of the biggest stars in the game at the time. Switch the rules up so that you have the opportunity to see all of these players. But, you know, the other part about it, too, is where are the DHs these days? We have one here in Ortiz. We just heard from him. Well, give me the rest of them.
It's fun. And that point has been made that now the DH has really become a way to kind of shuffle your roster and spell
rest
some guys.
Yeah.
Well, I also think it points out the greatness of guys like Edgar Martinez and David Ortiz, because I don't think it's an easy thing to do is to be effective at that position, and not many guys have done it at that level.
And I laugh because you can go in the Hall of Fame, and the majority of the guys that are there because of their offense, not because they could really play first base.
That's exactly
they're
right.
A great left fielder. I mean, to that point, to be a designated hitter in the American League and do it every day like Ortiz, you're one of the best hitters in the game. Absolutely. Otherwise, you don't have a job because that's all you do.
Yeah, and the Hall of Fame has the best pitcher, the best left fielder, best center fielder, best first baseman. Put him the best DH in the Hall of Fame. And besides that, when you really need that guy, Edgar was there. Had the biggest hit in the history of this franchise, Game 5 against the New York Yankees, the double down the left field line, and then the grand slam, oh, by the way, in Game 4 to help win Game 4 against the Yankees. Edgar deserves to be there. Two batting titles, on and on and on. Best hitter I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Have we been rolling on this to send to Cooperstown?
Yeah.
Do we have an email address?
It's going to be on its way.
All right, Kevin's on it. Kevin's got
it. The writers.
Yep. Don't worry. We got it covered.
So there it is. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. I don't know. I'm sensing maybe there's an Edgar feature coming up. I don't know. We'll see. And since we're on the Edgar topic, I thought I'd leave you with this. Here you go.
I have a little project.
Well, once again, Edgar Martinez is using Eagle Hardware's incredible selection of brand-name power tools for his latest project. And here's a surprise. For once, it's not a bat. Oh, it is a bat.
It's a light bulb.
Eagle Hardware and Garden. More of everything.
See you later!